Well, happy Father's Day to all to whom that applies. We'll leave it at that, just so I am aware of the calendar. And as I told the folks at Knox, I'm sure if there was some text here today that related to fathers, I would have preached about fathers, but there isn't one. So instead, we are going to once again answer the rhetorical question, and this week's rhetorical question is, which one are you? Which would probably be a hint to you that we're going to be spending our time in our New Testament lesson, in our Galatians reading. Human beings love to categorize things, put people and things in groups. Pattern recognition is one of the things we do best. One of the things that saved our lives when we were in a ruder and earlier time, when we needed to depend on our wits in a way that we don't now. Pattern recognition is what allows shepherds to, when they see a rustle out of the corner of their eye, to realize that it's just a misplaced sheep rather than a bear or a wolf or something of that nature. And often we can't even explain how we can tell what's happening, but our brains and our eyes work together in a way that is really quite extraordinary. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Very few of us have, really, but you're in a large group of people, none of whom you want to talk to. But they all know you. Well, there's two things you can do. One, you can put your head down and just run right through them, but that just draws attention to yourself. If the crowd is sufficiently large that people are just sort of in this big group, the easiest way to get through is to change how you walk. Fortunately, that's really difficult. You've got a couple of options that work pretty well. You can wear shoes that are too small, or put a rock in the end of it, I suppose. If you're tall, one of the things that works really well is put your shoulders back and then slap a piece of tape connecting your shoulder blades, and you will walk differently. And the thing that you will notice is that when you walk differently, people won't recognize you unless they look full at you. We recognize people by their walk almost before anything else because it's a pattern that we recognize. It's something that we can pick out from anywhere. It's just part of who we are. Tremendously helpful in many ways. It's useful to have categories. It's useful to know this is a category of my child, so if they come into my house, open the fridge and start eating, it's fine. If they're someone else's child, I will at least ask why they're there. Categorization in and of itself isn't a problem until we start thinking that the categories bring with them values that they do not. Paul writes in his letter to the church at Galatia, "You are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." And it's not just here. When we look through the writings of Paul, when we look through Scripture overall, we see over and over again that there are all kinds of categories that human beings fit into, and they fit into these categories. These categories aren't foolish or ridiculous. But Paul is saying here that the categories that we have are irrelevant. And that's why we ask the question, which one are you? Because when we look at this little grouping of opposing categories, we see that they are totalizing categories. You are a Jew or a Greek. In this case, Greek, sometimes it's translated Gentile. What it comes down to, you're either a Jew or you're not a Jew, and that includes every human being, because you're one or the other. You're a slave or you're free. Well, there's only two categories human beings can fall into, slave or free. There isn't a third category. It covers everything, male nor female, one or the other. What Paul is saying is that those categories, valuable as they might be, subsequent to your moving into a relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, those categories no longer exist. And by extension, when we look at how Paul interacted with other people before they moved into that relationship, we'll see that he didn't draw any distinctions there either. And when we look at Jesus' ministry on earth, he ministered to all who came. John 3:16 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and goes on to say that Jesus came for all. We work as hard as possible to figure out where things and people belong, what group they're in. And as I said, that's not a bad thing. Knowing the difference between your family members and your non-family members is helpful. But we have to be careful about our innate need and desire to categorize, to create patterns, because sometimes we create patterns where there are none. When the settlers came here centuries ago, their categories included, well, regular people, white Europeans, and non-regular people, the First Nations. And that led to all kinds of problems. This Sunday is the Sunday of Indigenous People, or the Sunday celebrated for Indigenous People, the Presbyterian Church, and upon the Declaration of the United Nations. And it's worth it for us to spend some time thinking about our categories and where that led us. Presbyterian Church has a history with the First Nations that I think can best be described as checkered, a bit up and down. It was this categorization of people into civilized and non-civilized, into fully human and not quite fully human, that led to some of the horrors of the residential school system. We would like to forget that part of our past, but we can't. We can't because it is part of our past, and pretending it wasn't there doesn't make it go away. And we need to spend some time thinking about it, because the errors that led to that were errors that are potentially common to all human beings, because the error that led to that was saying that these ostensible people, these First Nations, cannot move into the relationship with God that we have until they become like us. It's simply not true. Nowhere in Scripture will you see Jesus or Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews or all the other authors, particularly in the New Testament, saying, "Fix yourself up and then you may move into a relationship with God." Jesus himself said, "No, doctors don't go to the healthy, they go to the sick." Jesus said, "I come to the people who need me," and that's everyone. The people who created the residential school system, the people who looked at the original inhabitants of this continent, and didn't see people just like themselves, only wearing different clothing and slightly different hue of skin, and instead saw something other, were not people intentionally setting out to do evil, but evil is what they did. Because they looked at these people and said, "These are not people like us." They drew a distinction between them. The categorization, the dichotomy they created was, there are people like us, white, European, male, and if you're not like that, well, you have to become like that. And because you don't want to become like that, we're going to force you to become like that. And we're going to put you in schools that demonstrate that we don't value your culture. We will put you in a position that says that according to our understanding of God, everything about you is wrong and everything needs to be changed before you can even consider becoming like us. The people who did this may have had good motives, and they probably did. But Heather and I were talking about this, and Heather has done some work in this area, looking towards a memorial at one of the residential schools near Regina. Not as involved as Mary Jessie and some others, but still she's part of that that way of thinking. And when we were talking about it, I said, how could anybody have read Galatians and come to that conclusion? That the original inhabitants of Canada, of North America, had to become something they were not for God to love them. I don't understand it. I honestly don't. I have tried, and I can articulate what they may have been thinking, but I just don't get it deep inside where the real me lives. I just don't understand how you can look at someone and their culture and say, you're not really human at all, but I can make you that way by teaching you a new language and a new way to dress. Their motives are irrelevant at this point. But their error is obvious. And the error was that they felt they could decide what you had to look like, how you had to behave, what you had to be to move into a relationship with God. And they were wrong. There is one thing you do have to be to move into a relationship with God, and that's you have to be alive. As far as I know, God does not move into relationship with dead things. Other than that, I think it's pretty much wide open. When we ask the question, which one are you? When we look at this collection of dichotomies here, and when we look at Paul's experience as a missionary, as the one who built the church of which we're now a part, when we look at Jesus' ministry, when we look at the ministry of many of the prophets in the Old Testament, a little bit harder to see there, but when we look at the story of Jonah, when we look at all of these things and we ask ourselves the question, which one are you? The answer is, we're all of them. Because there are no distinctions. That's what Paul says. And in this particular passage, he's talking about the subsequent moving into this relationship with God. When we have become Christians, that there's no difference. But you'll see that Paul's outreach made no distinction either. Neither did Jesus. Neither did God. God loves all of us. Doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. There are many dichotomies that we could come up with that are perhaps more pleasing to us. But the fact remains that they're all neither of these, neither rich nor poor, neither Presbyterian or anyone else, neither conservative or non-conservative, progressive or non-progressive. It doesn't matter what they are. We can create dichotomies that exclude people from now until forever. And God doesn't care about any of them. And He never has. There are two kinds of people. Alive people and dead people. There's one kind of person that God cares about. And that's the human kind. Not to suggest He doesn't care for the rest of the creation. Let's just throw that out there too. Let's not go crazy. But God loves everyone. God provided the opportunity for everyone to move into a relationship with Him that then was characterized by the language of child. There is no difference between your children when it comes to whether you love them or not. There's lots of differences in how you treat them. If they're different ages, they have different interests. You don't treat all of your children identically because that's just silly. But you love them all the same. There is no qualitative difference between one and the other in the relationship they have with you. A child is a child, whether they're born to you or adopted to you. Your children are your children. It's an all or nothing kind of thing. The Creator loves all of His creation, all of it, the same way. God never said, I love this kind of person more than that kind of person. Jesus didn't come first and foremost for people who look right. come for people who look wrong. He came for everyone. Which one are you? You're the one that needed God and hopefully found Him. Hopefully responded to His gracious reaching out to you and are now in that relationship. And in the same way that you were equally valuable of reaching out before, you are equally valuable to be in. We love to make categories. Often the categories are there to see who we can exclude. Sometimes they're there to see who we can include. Sometimes they're just convenient. Sometimes they're ways that we order our lives themselves. Categories in and of themselves, deciding which one are you in and of itself is not a bad thing. Until we start misapplying it. Paul says it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Greek, whether you're tall or short, whether you sit on that side of the church or that side of the church. None of these things matter. When we lose sight of that, terrible things can happen. Terrible things. And we've seen it in the very history of the Presbyterian Church, of the church overall in North America. And that came from categories that were not ordained by God, where value was ascribed to things that didn't deserve that value. And none of us here are likely to try and start a residential school. We don't have that kind of scope. But if we're not careful, we'll start creating categories that do exactly the same thing. That say, this person is more in than that. But this person, because they're in leadership in the church, are more of a child of God. It's foolishness, but it's very attractive foolishness. And so on this Sunday, a Sunday set aside where we at least think somewhat of the indigenous peoples all around the world, and in our case, particularly those in Canada, we remind ourselves that before and after conversion, before and after this moving into this relationship, God loves us all the same. Which one are you? The one who needed God. Period. Which one are you? The one who responded to God. Period. We're all the same. We all need God the most. And God loves us each the same. The categorizations that we sometimes allow to take over our lives need to be looked at carefully to see if they're helpful or not. And whether or not dispensed with. Because we're all of them. Because when it comes to God's perspective on us, we are all exactly the same. And I don't know about you, but I couldn't be happier about that. Amen.